You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, October 24th, and this is episode 15. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. We are 7-1, moving right along in the Pac-12 slate here. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
It's never felt so good to be so wrong.
Hashtag game day signs. So thank you, everybody, for your continued support. If this is your first time listening to us, thank you for tuning in. Ute Talk Podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this twice a week now for your enjoyment. Patrick and I on Mondays, and Joseph and Grant will be doing a statistical analysis of upcoming teams either Wednesdays or Thursdays is when they do that. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed, iTunes, Google, Stitcher Radio, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get into it here. Our Ute news of the week. The Running Utes got a verbal commit today. Actually, in my opinion, it's quite big news. Brandon Carlson, high school senior from Bingham High School, local kid, 6'10", 200 pounds, power forward. He's a four-star athlete. So, I mean, this is a big get, not only to get him in our own backyard, but pry it away from the team down south. But his AAU teammate, Emmanuel Akot, is also being pursued by the University of Utah. He would be a very high-profile athlete. So, getting Brandon is great for the program. Again, verbal commit, so we'll find out once he puts pen to paper. But it's a huge get for us, and very excited about that. He will be serving a mission and then coming back and playing. So that'll be like a, let's see, what is that, 2019?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what you have to say about Brandon, but that's a big find. And then also, if you guys remember, we talked about earlier, we picked up another local guy, Jackson Brenchley, three-star guard. So,
yeah, it's good to keep these local kids
local.
Local, and, three-star, four-star guys that could probably go anywhere in the country. So, good recruit. Hopefully, he sticks to his commitment, but it's exciting to see what a Coach K's doing with that program up there.
It really is. It's been amazing the last couple of years to see the growth and the passion of the players, the coaches, and the fans. It's grown to the must. I mean, a couple years ago, it was just the first 2-3 rows of the must, and now it's almost an entire section. So it's definitely grown, which is great. So, moving right along here in our Ute news, I think the big one that I think a lot of people are going to be excited about is ESPN College Game Day is making its way here to Salt Lake. If you guys remember last year, we had them prior to playing Cal. This is a big game, big stage for the University of Utah going into it. 7-1 for Utah, and then 7-0 for Washington. So, big game, right?
Exactly. And with game day coming, it's the fans' chance to shine and show what they're all about. So, I hope to see some good signs and see some funny stuff out there. So,
yeah.
Get prepared, fans. Get there early and put on your best show.
Exactly. So, it will be up at President's Circle throughout the day on Friday the 28th, and then 11:30 a.m. to noon on Saturday.
And I think they're encouraging people to dress up in Halloween costumes or whatnot.
So. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Overnight camping will also start as early as 4 p.m. on Friday. So be there, be loud, be proud, get your best signs, keep them clean, and have fun with it. But it's very exciting. We're one of the very few programs west of the Mississippi that has really had game day here, you know, or west of the Mississippi. So we've had it 2004, 2010, 2005. Now 2016, so really, really big for the program, the national stage there. So as we move along in our Ute news, injuries, what do you got for us there, Patrick? I mean, Coach Witt and his presser didn't really allude to a whole lot, but what do you got for us?
Just really the same stuff, no new, you know, big injuries, just guys are nicked up. You know, Tim Patrick's still a little bit nicked up. They're hoping to get him 100% by Saturday. And then, you know, no new news on Marcus Williams or Tatioli. So hopefully they'll be able to get healthy and be able to play against Washington. But that's really all. Just, you know, guys have bumps and bruises and no new season-ending injuries or anything like that coming out of the UCLA game.
Yeah, that's a win in itself right there, you know, coming out without any injuries. So good on us there to not be injured, and hopefully, you know, the one game of rest for Williams and Tatioli and Lowe will get them back involved and back in practice this week. So we'll see on that. So I haven't been paying attention much, but you broke this to me just momentarily. Marcel Manalo, what's going on there?
Yeah, so Marcel Manalo has left the team. For those who know, he's the running back. I believe he was a freshman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he had a good showing in spring, and then he just kind of got lost in the shuffle behind, you know, Williams and Shine and Moss and McCormick and eventually Howard, and just, you know, kind of got lost in the shuffle. And with them burning Devontae Henry Cole's red shirt,
yeah,
I think that just put him further and further back. And yeah, you know, maybe he's looking for playing time elsewhere, so
absolutely,
hopefully he'll be able to get on somewhere and show what he's all about. But it's just kind of a case of, you know, getting lost on that depth chart, yeah, and not really doing anything to move back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so wish him the best, but Utah's moving on. So and our last news for the week is our Utes move up to 17 in the rankings, so only two spots. Personally, I was a little disappointed. I thought we should have been, you know, up to maybe 15, maybe even a little higher. I mean, I don't know, going on the road in the Rose Bowl, you know, the spread was, I believe, 7. And then I think with Rosen not playing, it might have been even. I can't remember now. But it's not an easy place to play in by any means. So, you know, with Utah being banged up, I thought we should have been moved up a little bit. But Washington comes in at number 4 and a new Pac-12 team that we have not seen in the rankings for quite some time, Colorado, moves on into number 23.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. I was thinking Utah should be right around 14, 15, but that's obviously not the case.
Yeah.
Washington at number 4, you know, that's deserving. They've been putting teams away and playing really well. And mm-hmm. Colorado's surprising. They've played well this season, and it's good to see them crack the top 25. That's going to make the last game of the season even more, even better.
Yeah, the Rumble in the Rockies.
Yeah, hopefully make it more of a rivalry than it has been.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how we're ranked ahead, yet everybody's projecting Colorado to be, you know, the Pac-12 South representative. I don't know. That's just funny to me.
Yeah, Utah, really. I mean, they really don't get any respect most of the time. Really, just people kind of overlook them or just don't give them the respect, but that's fine because that's what they thrive on and that, and that's how they perform at their best.
Yeah, Whittingham knows how to capitalize on that, that's for sure. Well, that's all we have for our Ute News of the Week. So let's jump right into it for our recap of UCLA. I'll tell you what, not what I expected. in all facets of the game. I mean, I was thinking that the Cal game was going to be like the shootout, and it ended up being the UCLA game. So I was shocked. Utah comes out. Butler Bird gets a return, 98-yard return on the opening kickoff. And then, you know, we hold them to the next possession. I believe maybe a three and out. I can't recall right now. But anyways, we get the ball back, march right down the field, another touchdown, no problem. And then just like that, you know, UCLA is right back in it, and it's 21-14.
Yeah, exactly. I expected this game to be a kind of a low-scoring defensive game, kind of like last season where, you know, the Utes struggled. All they could do is kick field goals, and UCLA really couldn't get anything going. So I didn't expect this score at all. I definitely would have expected it in the Cal game with the Utes coming out on top, but that didn't happen. But, yeah, I mean, that first kickoff, Butler Bird, first kick return for a touchdown of the season, and it was a beauty. It, you know, 98, 99 yards, whatever it was. And, man, once he got out in the open, he was gone.
He was quick.
And, you know, and then, you know, right like that, it's 14-0. But then you turn your head again, and it's 14-14. That's just Pac-12 football. Teams can move up and down the field so fast and just score at will. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, Faithful, the backup, really had a game. I mean, I believe he broke multiple school records. 72 passes thrown.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at his stats here, 40 of 70 completions and attempts, 464 yards, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Now, obviously, you know, the interception number is pretty terrible when you're setting that type of records and not winning the game. But, I mean, 70 passes, 464 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I mean, he was all over the place. I mean, slinging the ball around.
Yeah, throwing it 70 times, you'd hope you'd, you know, have close to 500 yards or more.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, 5-plus touchdowns. But that just shows, you know, UCLA's struggling in the run game. They have no running backs, and it's kind of odd because they usually have a pretty good running back there most years, and they don't have anybody this year. And it showed in the Utah game. I think their top running back had like 24 rushing yards.
Yep.
He did have a touchdown, but, you know, I think overall they had about 46 total rushing yards. So give props to the Utes run defense. They, you know, UCLA, the only chance to beat the Utes was through the air, and they definitely tried their hardest to do that.
Yeah, they definitely gave themselves a chance. So looking at kind of the stat breakdown here. So Utah had 20 first downs, UCLA 29. We didn't have any fourth downs. Or go for it, at least. Third down conversions, we were 3 of 15. UCLA was 6 of 16. Total yards, we have 539 to UCLA's 510. And here's the big number, the passing. 179 for Utah, 464 for UCLA. And then complete flip side of that, rushing, 360. 360 for the University of Utah and 46 for UCLA. And 23 of those 46 were Faithful scrambling.
Yeah.
He scrambled 6 times for 23 yards. I mean, that's just, talk about making a team one-dimensional. That's making a team one-dimensional, and they did it to themselves, to be honest. Time of possession, Utah held the ball for 36 minutes, 11 seconds. UCLA, 23 minutes and 49 seconds. So, you know, Utah had 2 turnovers, 1 fumble, 1 interception. UCLA, 5 turnovers, 1 fumble, 4 interceptions. So for the most part, you know, like Coach Whittingham always says, you win the turnover battle. You know, most likely you're going to give yourself a chance to win. Utah ended up winning, which moves us to 7-1.
Yeah, I mean, Troy Williams
struggled.
Kind of struggling in the past game again for the second straight week, but I think he had like 179 yards. He did have one touchdown to Tim Patrick that was taken away by that awful cut block.
Yeah,
call,
that was...
Which wasn't a cut block, but or chop block.
Chop
whatever.
Block, yeah. Whatever. No, that was poor. I was screaming at my TV.
And he did throw that one interception, so broke his streak there. But, mm-hmm. you know, he struggled a little bit, but I think a big part of that was because, you know, you don't have Tim Patrick out there. Raylon Singleton really wasn't anywhere to be found. The top receiver was COC Wilson, mm-hmm. who had about 71 yards, and then you had Butler Byrd. But just kind of a quiet game, but, you know, that's, you know, you can, a lot of that's attributed to, you know, Joe Williams and the great game he had on the ground. I mean, 332 yards, school record, four touchdowns. The offensive line was opening up holes for him like crazy, and he was hitting them hard and just going full bore, and they couldn't catch him.
Yeah, I mean, Joe was off the charts. 29 carries, 332 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, just insane. The last two games, he comes back from retirement, and he had 179 yards and a touchdown last week against UCLA, 332 and four touchdowns. I mean, that's just nuts to me. Like, let's give our guys 28 days off a little more often, right?
Yeah, I mean, Fox was comparing him to people who came out of retirement like Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps,
yeah,
a couple other ones. It was like,
it's good company to be with, right? That's, yeah, just insane to me. But Joe, I mean, he ran hard. He hit the holes hard. He, you know, was patient with, you know, letting the holes open up, and he took advantage. And the O-line played phenomenally. Asiata got some huge blocks pulling. Either, you know, pulling to the right. So, I mean, it was just great to see.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Bowles, that whole offensive line, just they played out of their minds. I know they struggled a little bit in the pass protection because I think Williams got sacked like five times maybe.
Let's see.
But their run blocking was something else. It was out of this world. I mean, all of those offensive linemen were just opening up holes left and right for Williams. And Joe Williams is, I mean, you look at him the first two games, he was so tentative to hit the holes, wasn't really running hard. And you look at him the past couple games, and he's a totally different running back.
Yeah, it's night and day. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what was going on. You know, why did he retire? you know, it just pops up in my head as far as, like, you know, did he want to retire because, you know, he was quickly moving down the depth chart instead of up. Like, you know, he started off as the starter, or was it truly, you know, it just his mind wasn't right. He needed a break, and, you know, he definitely got that break, and it's done some good for him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was, but maybe his body and his mind just needed to take a break for a while, and, you know, and then he just looks so refreshed, and he looks totally different than even last season.
Yeah.
He looks totally different. He looks, I mean, if this was him last season, he would have definitely, you know, taken some carries from Booker possibly.
Oh yeah.
But I mean,
they definitely would have had trust in him to give Booker a rest. That's for sure.
But I mean, this season, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I projected him to be a 1,000-yard rusher, and he could definitely do that, even after missing, you know, however,
four games.
So
yeah, I mean, looking at his stats right now, let's see here. So far this season, he's got 586 yards, five touchdowns. So, and that's missing four games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he averages, you know, 100 yards over the next, you know, what do we got? Four left?
Yeah.
you know, I mean, he'll be darn close to that 1,000 yard rush mark, which would be awesome for him. Quite a return for sure. And, you know, who knows, he might be a late draft pick, yeah. Which would be quite the story.
Yeah. I mean, if he keeps performing the way he is, I mean, the NFL, you know, there's a team that's going to take a flyer on him just because look at his speed and
fastest guy on the team.
I mean, he's outrunning, you know, like Whittingham said, he's outrunning 4 and 5 star guys on UCLA. And they weren't even
coming close
to him.
Yeah, he just burning right by him and left him in the dust. So great performance by Joe. Troy Williams, definitely some things to work on. I think, you know, obviously they went and rode the hot hand of Joe. Let's talk a little bit defensively here. 4 interceptions for the Utes, 2 by Brian Allen, 2 by Jordan Fogle. Brian Allen was, you know, one of the backup corners coming in. Fogle is the backup to Marcus Williams. Both started, both making a really big impact. Allen has had quite a few interceptions this year from that position, and Fogle, you know, came in last week midway through and for Marcus and really played well and got his feet kind of wet, and now he performed great. You know, he had that fourth down stop just right through the hole and just stopped that running back, two yards behind the line of scrimmage. He read that perfectly. Couldn't have been any better. And then he gets 2 interceptions. So what do you see defensively? Should we be worried going forward? You know, a lot of the points get put up because we don't have Tautioli and Marcus Williams in there. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, Brian Allen, he very well could have had like 5 interceptions against UCLA. He dropped probably 3.
Mm-hmm.
3 and picked up 2. And then Fogle played great, 2 interceptions. And then, like you were talking about, that hit on that fourth down. I mean, that he looked like, I know he wears number 13. He looked like Gianni Paul with that hit.
He did.
He just.
Absolutely.
You could put him at linebacker sometimes once Williams come back or something, because that was a thing of beauty. Defensively, Cody Barton and Luafata Sago led the team with 7 tackles apiece. So you had some fairly decent play out of the linebackers. And then a couple sacks from Dimmick and Mokafisi. But defensively, going into this Washington game, they definitely, I hope that Marcus Williams can come back just because he's such a game changer back there. And then Tatioli's your best linebacker. So hopefully they both can return healthy, because I think that's going to give the defense, you know, at least somewhat of an advantage going against a high-powered offense like Washington's. Because, you know, when you look at the pass defense against UCLA, the Utes struggled a little bit, giving up a lot of yards to UCLA's receivers. I think, you know, their top receivers, one of them had 8 receptions for 146 yards and like 2 touchdowns. And then the next guy had like 117 yards on 7 catches. So they struggled a little bit, missed tackles. I mean, Utes tackling was horrible on Saturday.
Killing us.
Especially the cornerbacks, their tackling was just, they got to work on that. They're trying to strip the ball too much rather than make the tackle. And it's just, it's not working out for him. I'd rather see him make a tackle or.
Absolutely.
But
get your arms around the guy and let the other defender come in and strip the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So defensively, they'll definitely get things fixed. And, you know, this is such a huge game coming up that, I mean, this is probably, in my opinion, this is going to be the most important game since they joined the Pac-12, just because there's so much on the line right now with the Utes, you know, positioning themselves to take the South and just make some noise.
Definitely. Well, you have anything else for us on our breakdown of UCLA, or should we get into our UQs in Washington?
No, I mean, I picked UCLA to win. I stuck with them, so I'm glad that the Utes proved me wrong. And
that's right.
Hopefully they can do it again this week.
I'd like you all to know that I also had UCLA as a loss. So both Patrick and I were wrong in that sense. So I guess we aren't very good predictors. Now, so let's get into our UQs here.
Now time for UQs, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at UTalk Podcast or email utalk@gmail.com.
So our UQs, for those of you who do not know, it is your chance to tweet us a question at UTalk Podcast or email us utalk@gmail.com. And you can also use the hashtag UTQs, so UTEQS. Ask your question. We will do our best to find out the answer or talk about it ourselves here on the show. Also, we will tweet out questions that we want your answers to, and we will break those down and go through those and give our thoughts. So let's get into it. Our first one comes from at Hefe Mac. Where does this game against Washington rank among important games for Utah since joining the Pac-12? Now, Patrick, I know you talked just briefly about that. I'd like you to go more into in depth on your thoughts. I'm going to give my thoughts real quick. So, like you said, next to the Stanford game that we had a few years back, this is definitely the most important game. You know, Chris Peterson of Washington has, in the years past, been a Ute killer with Boise State. What he's been able to do up there, I know they beat us at the Vegas Bowl back in 2010, that would have been. so, I mean, Chris Peterson is a great coach. He now has a program that he can recruit really good talent. So, I mean, this is a huge game. Although Washington is not in the South Division, it's a very big game, everybody. Game day is here. It's a national stage. It's almost like that David and Goliath feel, just because I feel Utah has everything against us right now with mounting injuries, kind of a new offense, you know, some freshmen getting some, or freshmen or first year starters getting, kind of their feet wet. And then you go to, Washington, you know, who has the number one defense in the Pac-12, and Jake Browning is playing out of his mind right now. And Ross, the receiver, is all over the place. He's so quick. So this is a huge game. I would say it's the number one game since coming into the Pac-12. This will really put Utah on the map of whether we are legit or not and how we will stack up with Colorado later on in the year.
Yeah, I think this is – it's such an important game because, I mean, you have the number four team coming into your house. ESPN Game Day's here.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a national stage. Utes really don't get a lot of respect, so this is, you know, if they could go out here and get a W against Washington, I think they definitely get a lot more respect. Washington, you know, is definitely going to win the North, I believe. So this could even be, you know, a matchup that you could see a rematch in the Pac-12 title game.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have, as far as the South goes, it doesn't have a lot of implications as far as if they win or lose. But, you know, this is a game where if you can come out and beat Washington, you're going to just boost your confidence and belief that you can go out and beat anybody. And it's just going to help the Utes as they try to take that South title.
Absolutely. So thank you, Hefe Mac, for that. Hopefully we answered your questions, and I'd like to know your thoughts as well. So when you listen to this, tweet back at us your thoughts on where this game ranks for you. Would love to hear your thoughts. Moving on to our next question. What are your three keys to a Utes victory Saturday. So we've got S_Glaz18, 0 turnovers, force at least 3 turnovers, and plus 50% on third downs. A couple people responded to that Twitter handle there. I think more than third down conversions is red zone conversions. And then we've got, that was from at Tackling Utes, and then at Utah CKH, plus play defense. defense has been a little suspect the last couple of weeks. I think Utah will get that figured out. You know, Scally getting his feet wet as that defensive coordinator. A lot of different schemes, a lot of aggressiveness with his calls. And the problem with that is they'll either hurt you or they'll get you a lot of points or a big play. So you kind of take it for what it is. And I like the aggressiveness. I think it definitely keeps the other teams on their toes, but we'll see going forward. At JD Haas, number one, prevent UW explosive plays. Number two, win the turnover battle. And number three, win third down conversion battle. A lot of third down conversion battles. At AL Steve or underscore Steve, better play in the secondary, limiting big plays, stout line play against the rush, and control the run game through Joe Williams. So what are your thoughts on those three keys to victory?
Yeah, I think they're all, you know, good keys there. I would say my three keys, secondary plays gotta improve. And if Marcus Williams can return, that's definitely going to help that. If he can't, you know, it's they definitely have to play a lot better than they did against UCLA because, you know, Jake Browning is a different animal. A lot of people say that Jake Browning's going to feast on the Ute secondary, but a lot of people said that last season when Jared Goff came to town and the Ute secondary stepped up.
Look what happened there, 6 turnovers.
Second key, I would say, tackling. They got to make the tackles because Washington has such so many playmakers. I mean, the running backs, Miles Gaskin is a great running back. And then they have those two receivers who Ross and Pettis who are explosive playmakers. So definitely got to stop them and try to limit them from getting big yards. And then the third key, the Utes got to come out and have a balanced offense. They got to have a passing game. They got to have a rush game. And they just got to, you know, keep it balanced so that, you know, when the passing game's struggling, they can go to Joe Williams. When Joe Williams is struggling, they can go to Troy Williams and the receivers.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, those are all great keys, and I think everybody that tweeted at us had a lot of great keys. I mean, if we could pick more than three, I would definitely pick everything that's there. For me, personally, I believe, like you said, the balance offense, I do not want to see us go one-dimensional and focus strictly on the run. We need Troy Williams to continue to throw the ball. We need to get a little more creative, open up the playbook a little bit more, continue to get Butler Bird involved. If Tim Patrick is back, you know, stretch the field a little bit, you know, and really have that balanced offensive attack. Second would be the secondary plays like you talked about. We've got to limit those, and I think a lot of that comes from the defensive line. Obviously, if you can get some pressure on Browning, make Browning scramble a little bit, think a little longer, you know, that'll definitely help us in the long run. and then third, I'm going to go with special teams play, and this is a combination of, you know, kickoff, punting, both, you know, returning and kicking, and then obviously, you know, field goals. You know, while we prefer touchdowns over field goals, you know, I we need Andy Phillips to make sure he's making all of his opportunities. And then Wisnowski playing the field position game. You know, we need to be able to give Washington long fields. You know, we need to control that position, the field position battle for sure. So,
yeah, and Andy, I mean, Andy did a good job on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was 3 out of 4 from 40-plus yards. So
45-plus, I believe.
45-plus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had a great game. I know he missed one, but, I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
But other than that, he was money from quite a ways out.
He was, absolutely. I believe he won one of the weekly awards as well. The Ray... Oh, what is it? I can't remember. One of the weekly awards.
Ray Finkel?
Yeah, something like that. So our third Ute Talk question was, give us your prediction and MVP for the Utes versus the Huskies. Excuse me. At JD Haas, overrated UW hasn't played anyone as good as Utah yet. They are in for a rude awakening. Utah 31, UW 27 with the game ball to Tim Patrick. I agree with that statement. And we'll break down Washington here, but if you looked at their schedule at the beginning of the year, you're like, okay, Stanford, Oregon, those are some big teams, obviously, up there in the north. But Stanford and Oregon are a shell of what they have been in years past. So, in a sense, they really haven't played that tough of competition, or they haven't had anybody punch them back in the mouth. And I think, like JD Haas says, I think Utah is going to be able to provide that. I don't think Utah's just going to roll over and die. And, you know, I think we're going to give them some pushback. We're going to give them some adversity, and we'll see where it takes us. For me, I think it's going to be, you know, I put them down for a win because I had UCLA as my loss. So my score would be 34-31. And I believe it could be, you know, come down to a field goal for the win by Phillips. Or it would be a defensive stop to prevent them from either scoring a touchdown or a field goal.
The only team that really has given Washington a game has been Arizona.
Which we beat.
Yeah, which we beat. So that's, I mean, other than that, I mean, who else have they played? Like Rutgers and a couple others.
Yeah, you've got Rutgers, Idaho. Let's see, that's Portland State. And then you've got Arizona, Stanford, Oregon, and Oregon State.
Yeah, and I mean, if you were to look at their schedule at the first of the season, you might look at that Stanford and the Oregon games and think, wow, they got, you know, a couple tough games there. But like you said, I mean, Stanford and Oregon are struggling this year. It's been surprising. I at least, you know, thought Stanford would be kind of like last season where they're pretty good team, but they're struggling pretty bad, and Oregon they are not good this year for some reason. They're having a really down year. But yeah, other than Arizona, I mean, that's really the only team that's pushed Washington so far. So they have not faced a team like Utah. They haven't faced a well-balanced team like Utah. I mean, mm-hmm. They're balanced on offense. Their defense is great. They have, you know, a good special teams. So this is going to be Washington's true first test this season. And I know at the start of the season, I picked Washington to win. And it hurts me, but I got to stick with that. Hopefully it'll do what it did last week. And the Utes will prove me wrong, but I'm going to go with Washington 31-27 with the game ball going to Browning.
All right. Fair enough. So you heard it here. Patrick's got Washington 31-27 with the game ball going to Browning. Andy has got 34-31 with either Phillips or the defense getting the game ball. And then our listener at JD Haas, 31-27 with the game ball going to Patrick. So thank you, everybody, listening or tuning in for the Ute Cues portion and participating in that. We appreciate it. Again, you can tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast. Use hashtag UteQs or email us utetalk@gmail.com. So let's get right into our final segment here. Our breakdown of Washington, UW, University of Washington Huskies. I mean, 7-0, 4-0 in conference, ranked number 4. Coming into Salt Lake, Rice-Eccles Stadium. It's a, it's a 1:30 kickoff on, I believe it, was it Fox Sports 1?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Fox Sports 1. So 1:30 kickoff, Mountain Time. Fox Sports 1 is the channel if you can't make it. But if you got tickets, get there. Wear your red. Let's give the Huskies some trouble. So as far as our breakdown here, I mean, comparing some stat leaders here. So let's look at Browning compared to Troy Williams right now. So statistically, Browning is 118 completions, 172 attempts, 1,709 yards, 26 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. I mean, that's outstanding, regardless of what team you're playing, to be honest.
Yeah, those are some good stats, and it's no wonder he's, you know, kind of in talks for that Heisman race right now, because he's having a really good season,
yeah.
And, you know, he's leading the Huskies to, you know, one of the best seasons in a long time, so he is a good quarterback, and he can definitely hurt you through the air, and I know he's also rushed for some touchdowns as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how big of a runner he is, probably not too big, but
no,
he's definitely has an arm and can sling it.
Sure. So compare Browning's numbers. Troy Williams, 128 completions, 229 yards, or 229 attempts, actually has more passing yards than Browning, 1,725. And this is the killer, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. But it goes to show the differences in offenses. Utah is a much more balanced attack. Would rather control the game by running the ball, field position, etc. Whereas Washington is definitely more looking to pass it around. Rushing, you got Gaskin for the Huskies, 116 carries, 727 yards, 6 touchdowns. Joe Williams, only 4 games out of the 8 played so far. 85 carries, 586 yards, 5 touchdowns. So very, very similar there. And then receiving, you got Ross, 34 receptions, 486 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And then Tim Patrick, 24 receptions, 429 yards, 5 touchdowns. So quite the similarity in numbers as far as kind of the stat leaders in each category there for the offense. Go ahead.
They're just, you know, they're similar teams. They have a well-balanced offenses, and they have, you know, great defenses. So this, you know, very similar, a lot of similarities between the Utes and the Huskies, and that's what's going to make this such a great game, I think.
Yeah. So points per game, Washington is averaging 48.3, Utah 29.9. So let's call it 48 and 30. Yards allowed or points allowed per game, 14 for the Huskies, 21 for the Utes. Total yards, 486 for Huskies, 433 for the Utes. And then yards allowed, 318 for the Huskies, 363 for the Utes. So again, very similar styles, minus, you know, Huskies are probably more 70-30 in favor of the pass, whereas Utah's probably 70-30 in favor of the run. But the yardage is very similar. Yards allowed is very similar. The points per game, maybe not as much, but that goes to Utah, running the ball more than passing. So right now you're looking at a spread of 11.5 points in favor of Washington. So Utah the underdogs at home. You know, no respect. I thought it would have been a little closer than that. We'll see what Saturday brings.
Yeah, this is something that the Utes thrive on, is in that underdog role. And
it does.
Mm-hmm. Whittingham will definitely have them up for this game. Hopefully it doesn't go like the TCU game.
Oh, don't bring that back. I was on the sideline for that one. That was miserable.
But, yeah, I mean, two similar teams, two, you know, good offenses, two great defenses, I think. I mean, Washington has some
great,
really good defensive players. Buda Baker, one of the best safeties in the nation, I believe. And I don't know, I heard that one of their linebackers was supposedly supposed to be out this week. Joe Mathis, I think.
Yeah, he's one of their top guys.
Yeah, I heard he was supposed to be out. I don't know if they're still projecting that, but if he is, then that'll definitely help the Utes out there. But you know, this is going to be a game. It's going to be an exciting game, and you know, the Utes, like we talked about before, they gotta have that balance. They need Tim Patrick back.
Yeah.
If he doesn't come back, they gotta have some other receivers step up and fill those shoes, because they need to have a balanced attack, because this Washington team is going to be keen on Joe Williams. You know, they're going to be probably stacking the box and keen on Joe Williams and trying to shut him down and making Troy Williams beat them through the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So looking at Washington's most recent game, they had a bye week last week. But prior to that, they played Oregon State and won 41-17. Closer than I expected for that one for them. They really controlled the game from the get-go. They're outscoring opponents at an absurd rate in the first half of games. I mean, I think it's like 100 and something points to like 20 in the first half. Like, it's just insane. I Whittingham said it on the press conference. I can't remember what it was. But just some insane numbers. So if Utah can, like I said, if Utah can push back against Washington and, you know, give them a little bit of a fight, you know, Washington really hasn't faced adversity this year. And none of their games have been close. The only reason why some of the scores might look close is because you've got the second, third stringers in there that kind of let the game get back into it. But, I mean, looking at the Oregon State game, it was 31-0 at halftime.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're putting up all their points or most of their points in the first half. So, you know, I don't think Utah's going to roll over. Utah's going to give them their best fight for sure. Troy Williams has this game circled on his calendar. We all know he does. If we all remember, he was with Washington prior to going to the junior college route. He felt that he came out the other day and said that after an Oregon game, he threw his first touchdown. Next thing he knows, he's fourth on the depth chart, and he realized that he was never going to play. So he went the junior college route. Utah picks him up, and now he's our starter. So this game is definitely circled on his calendar. He definitely wants to, you know, show Chris Peterson, like, hey, you missed out on me. This is what I can do. I should have been the guy. So look for him to have some emotion this game. You know, not that he doesn't already, but, you know, he's not going to want to go down without a fight.
Yeah, and, I mean, with that, hopefully, you know, he doesn't try to do too much. Hopefully he still continues to play smart and continues to make the right plays and not try to force anything to try to, you know, prove a point. But I mean, yeah, definitely he wants this game. His teammates are going to want this game for him. He wants to prove, you know, that Washington missed out on a great quarterback, which they did. But you know, this game is, I'm excited for this game. This is going to be a good one. I think, it's going to be a battle for sure.
Are you going?
No, I'll watch it at home.
Okay. Wasn't sure if you were going. I will be there in my seat, so I'm very excited. Yeah, it's going to be a great game. You know, finally an afternoon game, 1:30 p.m. The weather, I haven't looked at the weather yet for that one. Have you seen that, what it's going to be?
I think it's supposed to be pretty nice weather all week.
Let me look at it real quick.
Not sure what it's supposed to do on the weekend, though.
Salt Lake, Saturday. So you're looking at 68, low of 51, about 10% chance of rain. So it should be a beautiful game. You know, really good conditions compared to what we had in Oregon State and UCLA. We had great weather down there. So should be a good game for the Utes. Excited. You know, this game is definitely one of the tops, you know, for the program, you know, just going forward, just because, you know, we're 5 years into the Pac-12, still no respect, you know, it's kind of like that. If we're going to make any future improvements and, you know, continue to get solid recruits to look at us, this is a game that we need to either win or really put up a good fight at home. So,
yeah, I agree. This is a game where this could really get in a victory here against this, you know, the number four team in the country could really boost the Utes' confidence and carry it, you know, throughout the rest of the season. So they can, you know, they've been knocking on that Pac-12 South title door last season at least, and you know, I know their first season in the Pac-12, they could have taken it if they didn't lose to Colorado, but this season, I mean, that Pac-12 South title is, I think it's the Utes for the taking, and the victory against, you know, the North team like Washington could really boost their confidence and carry it throughout the season, and it'd be great to see, you know, a rematch in the title game as well. If the Utes can pull this off.
Absolutely. So Utah has a bye following the Washington game. If we just look at Colorado real quickly, they are on a bye this week, and then they play home against UCLA, at Arizona, and then home against Washington State, home against Utah. So those four final games will be some interesting ones to keep an eye on for Colorado. Currently both teams are sitting at 4-1 in conference. Utah is 7-1 overall, Colorado 6-2. So this definitely will be a big one in all areas of the Pac-12. So do you have anything else for us, Patrick? Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, just Ute fans, get there and be loud, and let's make the Huskies miserable.
Absolutely. Real quick again, Washington Huskies, Saturday, October 29th, Rice-Eccles Stadium, 1:30 p.m., Fox Sports 1. Be there, be loud, be proud. It's the Ute Proud game of the year, so get your gear. But other than that, thank you everybody for listening to Ute Talk this evening. From our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself, Andy, we will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.